Okay, everyone, you take your seat and we'll resume the meeting. Okay, we've reached item number 7, WDFW use of social media. Our new public affairs and community outreach manager, Bruce Bodke, is here. He's really getting so that he's not so new anymore, but we haven't seen you that often, so call you new. Mike Sensi, deputy chief enforcement program, and Madonna Lewis, the communications consultant.
PIO, public information officer.
Yeah, consultant, okay. Social media.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the commission. I won't repeat the introductions. Thank you. I'm sticking to that new label as long as I can.
Okay.
Although each day makes me realize that it's a fast-moving train and just trying to kind of hang on board right now. Presentation has been sometime in the making. It's been under discussion since I arrived in mid-June. I know the enforcement and public affairs folks have talked about doing something like this, and we know there's been some significant interest among the commission for this particular topic. So I guess I'd say just a couple things in introduction. We're sort of thinking of this as a snapshot, and as we talk about things moving quickly, we were even this morning updating some content of the slides to reflect new developments, new friends on Facebook, new use of the services. So we're seeing this as a nice kind of moment in time, but there's a lot that probably will change in the next several months and beyond. So with that, I'll see if I can make this system work. We're going to give a very quick overview of social media, talk at some length, although I hope not too much length, about our use of social media. Some of the connections with the web and with other forms, other channels of communication we're using to sort of demonstrate the leveraging capability of social media with our current contact. Deputy Chief Sensi is here to talk about the kind of unique uses of social media for enforcement. We found that having a dual presence in this environment is really helpful because there are some benefits to having enforcement with its own presence out there that Deputy Chief Sensi will mention. And then we want to talk just briefly with you about where we go from here, kind of what we're considering and what the options might be as we go forward. My part will be the first few slides, and then I'm going to kick it over to Madonna, and we'll hand off then to Mike. The keywords are in boldface. We've all now heard about, and many of us use Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. There are lots more social media sites and pages and services available than we're using right now. They proliferate faster than I can keep track of where my kids are at any given moment. One of the things that's especially striking from my perspective in the public affairs unit is that really it's all about content. In the end, to take advantage of these communication channels, just like with news releases, other web content, documents of all kinds, we are and need to be content creators and providers. Madonna mentioned she's a communications consultant. The title used to be public information officer. It could be content creator now as we go into the new world. So we're really conscious of what we're doing that's kind of the source material. And the quality of that material is going to play out regardless of how it's conveyed. And so from the point of view of what we're trying to do kind of at the core, that's really important to us. We're using social media for what are probably some fairly obvious purposes at this point. We can reach more people. Significantly, we can reach a different audience composed of different demographics, particularly noticeable to me in age. It's kind of a generational thing. one of the real potentials of social media that I don't think we've taken full advantage of is the potential for interaction. I think enforcement is farther down that road than we are in the department as a whole, and with some pretty interesting and positive results. This is another way for the department and the public to communicate. Probably had a really good example of that over the last week with what developed with the octopus situation. Commissioner Jennings in particular was just right on target in the description of how that all began to play out. And the speed with which the information moves and the interaction takes place, that's really forcing us to become more nimble than traditional information offices used to have to do. And we are committed to being open and transparent to the greatest extent possible. And this gives us another way to make that happen and to demonstrate that we're really, you know, we're doing that on a daily basis. All of this stuff is web-based, so it really provides for interaction and movement between the website, that's kind of our foundation, and the various services and capabilities. And I wanted to give you just a sort of a sense of the scale of some of the activity. The 7,000 Facebook likes there is for the department's Facebook page, and that's in addition to the 2,000 or so likes that enforcement has enjoyed. We provide and share quite a bit of information and content, so we're getting a multiplier effect there. Our Facebook page is viewed about, on average, 250 times a day. We have 4,300 Twitter subscribers. I think probably everyone has seen and heard examples of tweets that have been sort of exploded across the landscape, for better or worse in some cases. We also provide, in sort of a more traditional way, information such as news releases, other documents, regulatory information, to folks who have gone to our webpage and signed up for distribution. So, for instance, we have 17,000 people and organizations across the state that have registered and received by email every single piece of information that we publish. That's pretty great guaranteed distribution of, say, a news release or a phishing regulation change. 10,000 of those folks have signed up to receive news releases and the Weekender, which is our monthly rundown of recreation opportunities, hunting, fishing, wildlife viewing, and others across the state. Our website gets a lot of use, and particularly from fishers, hunters, people who want to recreate outdoors, it's really quite substantial. Over the past 5 months, for example, the hunting homepage has received almost 250,000 hits, and the fishing regulation page almost 500,000. So the social media has a sort of multiplier effect as people interact with their contacts and share with their friends, and so that particularly on crises or emergency or very newsworthy events, you get that sort of instant burst. And Madonna will talk about a couple situations, and you know, that probably will be fairly memorable to you, where we've had that effect. But underneath that, the sort of the foundation of our communication and information movement is in the web. It is with the content we provide through normal processes and documents, and it's incredibly important. Without that, we don't have anything to feed into this technological communication network.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Jennings.
Just a quick question on your last 2 points, the 19,000 visits and 72 page views. I'm asking, but is that 19,000 visits and when somebody's there, they go to one or more pages? Is that the difference between those two terms?
Yes.
And so what that really says to me is that the website is pretty darn well organized. They can get to the information they want to get to in only looking at two or three different pages as opposed to having to keep looking and looking. So if that's true, then good work. If that's not, then tell me.
We always look at the website and say, this isn't organized well enough. and you tend to hear the feedback from people who can't find things. I'm oversimplifying with the statistics here, and we have analytics that break out all kinds of different aspects of it, and I'd be happy to get a little finer detail for you if that would be helpful. Actually, website organization is something that I'm thinking about a lot because it has to be an ongoing effort. We've tended, in my opinion, to use our website as a little bit too much of a bulletin board because we have not fully utilized some of the other technologies that are available to us. And so when you do that, when you're posting, you know, kind of events of the moment on the homepage, and the wolf situation occurs to me where we did that kind of intentionally, but we did it also knowing that it forces a lot of cleanup and ongoing maintenance that really may be better use of your time and effort to use different approaches than to create for yourself a big ongoing website cleanup project. But having said that, we'd really like to be focusing on the organization of the more standing material on the web. But yeah, I mean, I personally think our website is one of the best in state government. It's incredibly information-packed. I'm going to turn over to Madonna. She'll take you through some of the ways we're using the various particular services.
Good afternoon, commissioners. It's nice to be on the sunny side of the state. We're getting snow in Spokane tonight. You're not driving back, Gary, so that's good. Good luck. So we started YouTube 6 years ago, and we started that primarily to recycle and expand the reach of our old, some of you will remember, cable television show. It was a 15-minute show called Wild About Washington that Chuck Boland put together. And we had all these little video clips in a 15-minute thing, and we would break those apart and put them up on YouTube. So we started that over 6 years ago, and some of that stuff is still there because some of it's timeless, some of it works really well. We also use clips there from our Wild Watch cameras. They're very popular. We also use clips from motion-triggered cameras from field research. They're also very popular. And most popular, how-to videos. As of this month, we have 150 video posts. We average about two per month, 700,000 views, and 400 subscribers. And this gives you a screenshot of the latest one we put up. It's our newest. It's the tutorial for the new Go Hunt interactive page. And this takes you through in a little, you know, video how to work that. So that's our newest. The next is actually the most frequently viewed on YouTube right now. It's our Canada Goose ID thing. Now, that's required of some hunters, so that's part of why we have, that's been viewed 135,376 times. but we also have other very popular ones that, like how-to on salmon fishing, how-to on cleaning a trout, that kind of stuff is also very, very popular. And then the Wild Watch cams. This eagle cam shot, and this was when mama or daddy eagle was feeding the baby, 33,073 views. So very popular stuff. Another one that was very popular along this line from our Wild Watch cams was when eagles were dive bombing the great blue heron nests. And the great blue herons were getting all excited, and we had tons of views from that, too, so we had those clips on there. So YouTube's been very popular in that way. Twitter is kind of a microblog. We've used it since May of 2009. A tweet, if you don't know, if you don't tweet, 140 characters maximum sent to subscribers who can retweet that to others. and/or reply to us with comments. We don't get a lot of back and forth on that. We mostly use Twitter at this point in time as kind of a headline service. It's the leads from our news releases, fishing rule changes, recreation reports, that kind of thing. So right now, an average of one per day and 4,300 subscribers. And that kind of gives you a screenshot of what Twitter little tweets look like. And as I said, it's primarily a headline service. It's an area, and Bruce will talk about this later, that we feel maybe we can grow with and be a little more creative with. So then the big elephant in social media, Facebook. And we started that in June of 2010. And if you're not a Facebook user, it's what we do is post photos and text to a wall daily. I do. I manage that for the agency. And it's almost always links to our website for further information on something. And it's not just news releases and recreation reports. I'll just grab all kinds of stuff that we can generate interest on. Fans or followers can like us, do the thumbs up, they can comment on, and they do, and they can share our posts with their Facebook friends. So as of this month, we had, it's actually over 7,000 likes or unique fans. These are people who are regularly, they've either programmed their own Facebook page to trigger a news feed so they see when we post things. And then those fans have nearly 1.8 million friends, Facebook friends. So it's this whirlpool effect. And if something grabs their attention, they send it out to all those friends. So theoretically, if all our fans contacted all their friends, we would reach 1.8 million. That's theoretical, though. As you saw the numbers that Bruce showed earlier, some of the stuff we've been doing for a long time on email distribution of our information is going out to a lot more people. Social media is just one more tool in the toolbox. So who are our Facebook fans? And this shows the likes. We just grabbed a screenshot from, and this is just posted. It changes a little bit every day as we go along. And it's, as you can see there, 41.6% female, 57.5% male. I think 77% of our fans are under 45. I think we never did get a number, I don't think, did we Bruce, from licensing. But I think our fishing and hunting license sales might be the other way. We've got an older clientele. So when Bruce talked about social media as a way to not only perhaps reach more people, ultimately different people, because these aren't necessarily that same crowd we've been dealing with. And then the breakdown shows you also, you know, where these people come from. And obviously, most of them are from this country. Most of them are from Washington. Not all, though. And then it kind of breaks down by city, you know, Seattle, Vancouver, Tacoma. And then you don't see it on the screen, but Olympia, Spokane, Puyallup, Bellingham. Those are in descending order where people are coming from who are our fans. This one is just a screenshot to show you that incorrect information is often posted on our Facebook page. And I have found in managing the wall that if just when I'm ready to say, I got to correct that, another fan, another friend, another user will correct it for us. It's so it kind of becomes a little bit self-cleansing. and people get this conversation going, and they go, no, that's not right, and, you know, and it goes on, and we don't necessarily need to step in. But occasionally we do, and in this case, I don't know, you probably can't read that, but we had a post saying that in 2009, the department was caught releasing wolves on blah, 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 blah. And so I stepped in and said, we have never brought wolves into Washington, as stated in our FAQs, and then there's the link to take them back to the rest of the information, the rest of the story. So we will handle inaccuracies that way from time to time, but it's hard to stay on top of everything. They kind of go a little crazy. And this is a screenshot of an example where it's actually over on the right-hand side where someone commented, and I think it's actually connected to a piece, so we couldn't get the screenshot right, where we were, it was probably from our wildlife program weekly reports, which we post up every day or every week, and people can see all the great stuff our wildlife biologists are doing. And this person said, you know, obviously going, wow, I want to do that. Does the department do internships? So we get direct questions. And even though our comment guidelines explain that we don't have the staff to answer every question you might have that you might put up here, I will try to weigh in and just steer them to where they could find that information on our website. I'm not going to chase down the exact answer, but if they ask something real particular to a fishery, I'm going to say, hey, go to this part of our fishing webpage or call the Montesano office, here's the number, or whatever. So that's how we handle those kinds of things to respond. This is an example of, well, it is the example that brought absolutely the most comment we ever got on Facebook. It brought, well, 4,127 people saw this post. This was the post when we took the action to remove the wedge wolf pack on September 27th. We posted this. 1,198 people commented. That was just off the charts on comments. But I want to remind you that all those comments were made by less than 200 people. So they go back and forth and back and forth. So it's not like that's that many individual comments. This post was shared 191 times. We don't see that kind of sharing on other stuff. So it was a biggie. But I want to remind you, it isn't just negative news that would solicit that kind of attention. Do you all remember when our biologists in the Okanagan District found the Ross's gull back in December of 2011, almost a year ago now, and he got the picture of it, Jeff Henlon, and he sent me that picture. He said, we got to get the word out on this. This is a bird that normally would be found in the Arctic, and there it was in Okanagan County, and we posted that on Facebook, and the spike in it was like, I think it was over 1,600 people saw it within a couple of minutes, because the birding world is incredibly connected all over the world, and people got on airplanes to come see that bird. You know, it was crazy, but so that brings a lot of comment, that kind of stuff, and when we can, and it was our biologist out there doing work who found that bird, got the picture out. I mean, it was a wonderful thing. It was a highlight. Other ones that bring great big spikes in people who see, you know, fans who see or people who comment are shellfish openers, crab and clam, and the trout opener in April. So those have been biggies. And then another really popular type of post that I've been doing more and more of are our user-submitted photos. And I don't know if you remember the different types of social media. Bruce mentioned there's a photo sharing social media called Flickr. Well, we don't really use Flickr, but we've got our own share photo site on our website if you haven't looked at it. And you can go into the image gallery, which is right in our website, and look at all the user-submitted photos, and they are just wonderful. And these are people who have they're, you know, signing that we can use these photos of them or their kids or whatever they saw or did or whatever. And these are really popular. This got seen by over 1,800 people within a few minutes, and it's the type of thing that people love to. And then what it does, and we say, you can share your photos with us, and it just cranks up that use, and we get more and more and more photos. So that's been incredibly popular, too. I think this one, the only one that ever got close to the numbers we got on this big fish and this girl was somebody's golden retriever puppy with its first grouse retrieve. You know, it was like, oh, so cute.
Would you like me to do your clicking, or do you want to do your clicking?
You can do that. Okay. I trust you. Commissioners, thank you. So while the agency's Facebook page is 2.5 years old, ours just had its 1 year birthday. And we have, I mean, you don't expect law enforcement to have too many friends, but we have 2,000 routine followers. And there have been many benefits, I think, to this initiative, and they're not unique to law enforcement. You heard Bruce speak to some benefits to the entire agency, but you know it certainly includes a way to listen to citizens and hear what's being said about you, hear what's being said about the agency, and more specifically in this case about our law enforcement program or your law enforcement program. And also, you know, it's a vector for folks to discuss natural resource crime trends, the quality of their outdoor experiences and events. But probably one of the most important benefits, from my perspective, is it's provided us the ability to shape the conversation, and we can better market our accomplishments. We can notify the public with respect to public safety issues in real time. We can educate the public with respect to our challenges. And, you know, we you all know how complex a world of natural resource management and enforcement is. I think that's lost on a lot of folks, unfortunately. And we can help elevate our level of dedication and accomplishments by getting the word out in a more efficient way. Another benefit that we saw as we prepared to go live, it forced us, as Bruce mentioned earlier, to update our web pages. You know, there was a lot of outdated information and missing information, so we did a scrub there. And it also provides an area for the media to peruse. You know, I'll see stuff in the papers, and I'll think, well, we didn't talk to anybody about this. How'd they get this? Well, they just pulled it right off the Facebook page. Oftentimes, they go there first and then make the phone call for more detail. So we're getting additional attention by just sort of teeing up the issue without having to go through a formal news release process. And it may not be news release worthy, but it's still interesting to somebody out there. And, you know, we have an opportunity to build in some key messages. So we have a little bit of a different demographic than what you saw on the agency's Facebook page. Mostly a male following between the ages of 25 and, even with the glasses, I can't see. It looks like 44 is where most of the use is. I mean, males do tend to dominate the regulated activities that we oversee, and a lot of what we enforce involves take, and so that sort of seems natural to me. But I am surprised at sort of the diversity of folks that are interested in what we do. There are non-consumptive people that are just interested in knowing we have sustainable natural resources in the state that, visit the site. Go ahead. So here's an example of where we, one of the ways we use Facebook. We had a moose poached, and so we offered some information relative to that poaching. And we received a tip based on somebody's view of this posting. And then there again, we'll post, we need your help type messages, and then media will take that a step further and highlight the story in, you know, in populated areas. So we get a lot of exposure from these initial posts. So this was posted a few weeks ago. It's a really good example where we received an anonymous tip relative to that post. It went immediately to our poaching hotline, which is easy to find given the linkages to this Facebook account. And no doubt about it, the reward was a big incentive in this case. You know, our request for help got widely distributed. Here's an example of how we use Facebook in recruiting. There is a link to our recruiting page. You know, you get a better flavor for what is expected of a Fish and Wildlife police officer and the kinds of activities that you might be engaged in as a new recruit or a candidate in following our day-to-day issues. And you know, there's certainly results of our efforts posted here as well, and so people can see what it is we accomplish. We have a video link to our recruiting page. That's in, I don't know, 6 minutes and 10 seconds. You get a pretty good snapshot of what Fish and Wildlife police officers contend with, at least on the other side of the tracks. I mean, there's certainly there's arresting bad guys, and then there's, you know, educating the public and doing all the other work that we do as well. But that video is primarily catered to here's the law enforcement execution side of the career. We struggle a little bit with attracting people that understand our issues, that have a good sense of what a Fish and Wildlife police officer in 2012 does, what's expected of them. And so they, if people take the time to view the site and then they apply, they have a much better perspective as to what they're getting into. I thought you guys helped animals. I didn't know you were going to be arresting people. I mean, we, believe it or not, get that. So you can, you know, carve off the folks that aren't a good fit, don't have a real good understanding, aren't coming into this with their eyes wide open through efforts like this. And we have seen a dramatic increase, and Kate Anderson sitting behind me, who is instrumental in keeping our account alive and well-fed, and good looking. She's received an increase in applications, requests, requests for career type information because of visits to this. So it's been a way to recruit for free. But so we also highlight many of our enforcement partnerships. I don't have to tell you folks that many of our criminals are frequent. They have frequent flyer miles with the other law enforcement agencies, and general crimes are often integrated with natural resource crimes. So we rely on those law enforcement partnerships, and I don't know that that's all that widely or has been all that widely known, but people have certainly become much more educated about the importance of those relationships. And of course, it educates people with respect to the diversity of the job that we do. Go ahead. So you always hear about the bad stuff. You know, people are more willing, it seems, to write a letter of complaint than they are a letter of acknowledgement for being caught doing something good. And this, you know, communicating via social media, it's quick, it's efficient, it doesn't take a lot of time, and it seems that it offers people a better venue to express their gratitude for the work that we do, their congratulations, that sort of thing. So it's nice to see the mainstream pass on their thoughts and perspectives when we do something right. And we get a lot of that. It may not be a letter to the director or to the commission, but we get them. So you can see that education, recognition, our relevance in law enforcement and in people's lives, as well as interaction with the public, are all things that you know, can be addressed via this communication tool. As well as prevention investigations that we're engaged in, receiving tips, advertising rewards, recruitment and hiring, all those things are benefits of this mode of communication. I think we're going to share this piece, but you know, we talked about this, Madonna and I and Bruce, when we met in preparation for this presentation. Social media tools don't replace anything being done now. I mean, they just don't, especially with regard to community outreach. I hope I'm not stealing any thunder, Bruce. But what they do is they tie all those initiatives together. You know, this is just a platform for many other things. And those new platforms, you know, we need to, of course, ensure that our messages are consistent, that one tool enhances the other. And so we're continuing to work toward that end. And creating a presence in these areas, and I think Bruce touched on this, that's just the beginning. I mean, it takes time to build a following. And once you go down this road, then you have to make a commitment to keep it up. You've got to make it interesting. You've got to attract new clientele. You have to reach out to folks that may not have the same traditional values that we're familiar with. There's new evolving values out there with respect to how natural resources are appreciated and how they're going to be used. And we need to evolve accordingly. So we have to ask ourselves a number of questions, and I hope I know the answer. But you know, do we move from a pilot, which is what our project has been, under the direction of the director? Thank you, director. To something on a more permanent basis? And then do we have a commitment? Are we going to dedicate the resources to develop an overall agency strategy, create sensible department policy? Of course, you've got to dedicate some staff, and you got to commit to interesting and up-to-date content. And above all, and this is hard, you have to abandon fear. Particularly in law enforcement, there's always going to be folks out there that are going to be critical with respect to what you do. And you know what? You have to invite that. And as you heard earlier, oftentimes the negative is overridden by the positive. Other people weigh in on the conversation. And I often come away surprised at how much support we have out there and how much knowledge people have that I didn't think they have, so that they can make our argument for us. But sometimes you got to weigh in, or your reputation gets tarnished inappropriately.
Commissioner Duvio.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Mike, I got a question for you. We have a poaching number to call in on. How's this impacted crime that we've been getting reports on? Is the social media better than the 800 number we have in our pamphlets?
not better, sir. Just another tool for people to communicate with us. We have a number of tools to include being able to text anonymously a tip and then communicate anonymously with the officer with respect to violator's location. Here's a license plate. He's on, you know, this particular logging road now. He just left the area. But, you know, I wish I could say we have 24/7 dispatch out of our office because we could provide the best service, but we don't. We have to rely on the state patrol, county dispatch, 911 dispatch, texting, email, social media like Facebook. So it's another tool, and we have gotten some really good stuff here that we might not have gotten had people used some of those other means to try to get the information to us. I'll have to say that I have to thank Kate Anderson. I mean, I know she's not just doing this Monday through Friday, assisting me and keeping in contact with folks that want to communicate with us. They're probably getting more real-time interaction than what we're equipped to provide, but so far, so good.
Thank you.
Okay. I think the Bruce, you, or Madonna.
Mike's done a really nice job of summing this up. I mentioned a couple times there are areas that we want to investigate. Madonna mentioned Twitter is one. One of the sort of intriguing prospects that I continue to sort of come back to and program folks approach us about is starting a department blog. And the notion of I don't think we have any problem with potential content. Where we really have to get serious is deciding at what point we're willing to make the commitment to sustain an effort like that. And so I'm thinking about that a lot lately. We might want to try to pilot something. But that's one area we're looking at pretty seriously. Another is in putting folks, our specialists, our experts, our scientists, our enforcement folks, out front on podcasts, chats. We've done a bit of that where we'll say put a biologist and an enforcement person together with local media, and they'll have a conversation that folks can plug into for 2 or 3 hours. That kind of thing can be incredibly helpful, both in terms of marketing, you know, say a season opener, but also promoting folks abiding by the rules, understanding and following the rules. So that's another area that we're kind of excited about, and also have just a little bit of anxiety to make sure that we take the right steps in the right direction. Sure.
Commissioner Carpenter?
We might have a question.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bruce, I have a question as it relates to promotional events. And I don't know, I haven't perused this, so I don't know totally. But for example, have you created links to any of the outdoor events, the Puyallup Sports Show, the Salmon Derby Series, the outdoor activities that the public participates in, the Seattle Boat Show, for example? Has there been links to any of that? Because it's all part of the big picture.
I think we may have done a little small bit of that, but not nearly enough. That's an area with huge potential. Actually, one of the things we talked about at lunch was using it to promote some of our own promotions. And that and the combination with events like you're describing, so we start to be able to see some real potential leverage.
I have one follow-up. Director Brad, PhD Brad with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, last name I'm spacing on. He was here yesterday.
Thompson?
Brad, yes, great guy. My question is, I ran into him last year at a Pacific Salmon Commission meeting. We were having coffee, and all of a sudden I was talking to him about, I mean, I'm part of the recreational industry. I mean, you know, everybody knows that. So I was talking to him about the Seattle Boat Show, which attracts somewhere between 70,000 and 90,000 people over a 10-day period in January and early February. and I'm talking to him, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife has a program that they go out to these, events, they go to schools, they educate people in schools, and they got money and people to go out and try and get youth involved in learning about the outdoor activities. So I'm telling him about it, and in 3 days, he had it pieced together with his staff to have a booth. I was able to get it donated at no cost at the Seattle Boat Show. And they were there, and they interacted with hundreds, if not thousands, of people, including youngsters. Worthy of you and he talking?
Oh, I absolutely. And I know this department has a history of doing that sort of thing. It's not been sustained, probably, if you know, as we look back, as well as it could have been. But that's one of the reasons why we're here now.
Thank you.
Kind of along that line, let me just say on the chats, we experimented with two fishing chats this year for the opener, the trout opener in April. One was through the Seattle Times, one was through KHQ-TV, NBC affiliate in Spokane. And we had a group of our fish biologists on there for 2 or 3 hours doing, you know, taking incoming texted questions and getting answers back out. And those fish biologists, to a person, when we recruited them, was like, you know, it was the big eye roll and, oh, my God. And they came out of it saying that was very worth their time. And, in fact, more so, Commissioner Carpenter, than a trade show, because they were kind of reaching, they had the opportunity, because of the medium you're dealing with, to reach a much broader audience and new and different people. And the trade shows, I don't think it's something we should abandon, but it does tend to be the choir. And social media gives us an opportunity to maybe dip our toes in the non-choir. So just that's why I'd really like to see us do some more chats on our own website.
Commissioner Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to ask a question. I think I understand the enforcement benefits based on Deputy Chief Sensi's explanation of it, but I really wanted to ask a question about the fish and wildlife part of it. It seems like, particularly on certain subjects, a lot of the testimony we get is not very well informed. They're very sincere and very interested, but they're not very well informed about either the facts or the maybe the biology or ecology of the situation. With all this interaction with folks, and I think it's really great, do you tend to get comments that are more informed comments, or I guess what I'm asking is, do you see a result that you actually are educating the public a little more?
I would have to say that that is slow but sure, but sometimes painfully slow. I think we've used Facebook in particular in the last several months to provide as much information as we can, and when we got into the real public controversy over the wolf conservation and management issue, we made a decision that we were going to provide the web updates and releases about our wolf management actions on Facebook, which is not something that would have been an automatic decision and probably shouldn't be under any circumstances. But we made that decision knowing that we were going to generate a lot of interaction, probably criticism and debate. And I would say, I feel like I personally know now the 200 or so people who posted all those times, because I see all of the posts that come to the Facebook page. And I think it's a sort of a gradually improving environment out there. But I think that's going to be our career challenge, is trying to connect and our information with the people who we feel could most benefit, the people we know are most interested. The thing that the social media does, and it's true also of distribution lists where people can come in and sign up to receive your information, you are at least able to identify your core, and that, you know, we can't stop there, but it's really important to be informing and communicating effectively with the core, the people who care the most, the people who in many cases are the most likely to be supportive, and frankly, to give people who are our critics the same access to information that we provide everybody else.
Sure.
And I guess on a personal and professional level, I believe that. I've been in communication and news media and this kind of field for a long time. I have faith in people's interest and ability and willingness to learn. It's a slow process. You know, so there are days when I go home and I think, you know, if I could change the world. And then every now and then something happens, you know, and it's along the line of a couple of the examples that Madonna used and Mike. You know, we see positive movement all the time.
Thank you.
Okay, we're running a little behind. Now we've got lots of people who want to testify on the next topic, so... Commissioner Jennings, you want to?
Thank you. Excellent. Moving forward, and as you talked at the beginning about how quickly things can move, and the octopus was a good example. It ended up being one of the Yahoo ticker tape comments on Tuesday morning before the election results knocked it out of the way. So that was, you know, in a week it went from local to every single radio station, you know, front page of the new, right. Seattle Times, and even in Spokane it was in the paper, I understand. The question I've got is around evaluate new opportunities. When we were getting briefed on the octopus situation this morning, the director talked about some surveys that we'd done in the past about what the dive community does and doesn't do. And I got comments after the public comment period in the break about, well, you know, that last one was 1991, and that was really before digital cameras. And really the notice of change. So how would one get the department to do another survey of what divers do? And so I'm just looking at this utilize more Facebook features, quizzes, surveys, and you know, they're not. I've been really impressed with the wildlife department's, the wildlife program's use of the website to get comments from a broad array of hunters around hunting specific topics, rather than going just to the groups we have formed, the Big Game Management Advisory Council and all, but actually just spreading that out. We don't really have that same sort of email distribution list for non-consumptive users, so it does seem like this is another avenue to reach out to them. And I'm just thinking, or asking you to think about, how might we want to interact with the dive community to see what their needs are, if we could do it inexpensively, because we already talked this morning about the challenges with our state, with our budget and reduction of funds, through social media to get a sense of what they'd like. So this as a possibility for future examples.
That's definitely a tool that we can consider there. In fact, one of the uses that we didn't mention of Facebook is that we're using it to reach out to and link people who are interested in citizen science initiatives. Mm-hmm. And it's proving to be a really, seems initially to be a pretty effective forum for that. Before I leave, I need to thank a person who's not at the table here, who's upstairs, I believe, at this moment, okay. Our webmaster, John Burrows, who's really integrally involved in all of this work. Is John in the room? Anyway, he does a great job, and I wanted to acknowledge his contribution.
Thank you. Okay, that was extremely informative, enjoyable.
Thank you.
I got a good picture of what you're doing there. I'm going to sign up as a liker.
Like us,
I already
please.
Liked the enforcement space page. Thumbs up, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, we're scheduled for a break. We're running a little bit behind, so we'll shorten up our break. And how about 5 minutes, and we'll be back at 2?
Okay.
Thanks.